Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Joining us at this time is Marta Popivoda, director of Landscapes of Resistance from the International Film Festival Rotterdam. Marta, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Nice to meet you in the show.
Yeah, it's very nice to meet you too. And we're going to be talking about your latest film, Landscapes of Resistance. And just to briefly introduce it to the listeners, we're obviously going to be getting into it more. But just so that they know what the film is sort of about, the film is a documentary that tells the story of Sonja, who was one of the first female partisans in Serbia. Again, we're going to get into it a bit more later. But because of the nature of the film, and the references that you make in the movie to your own personal life, I would say, I wanted to start off by asking you a question about yourself and just ask you, would you say that you are a politically engaged person? And if so, when did you first become politically engaged?
Oh, thank you for the question, man. I say that I'm, I think I'm politically engaged person, sometimes more, sometimes less. When I make a film, then I'm less engaged as an activist, but in the times when I'm not making films, then I'm more engaged. Or also when I'm staying longer in my primary context, which is Serbia, Belgrade, then I'm more engaged because, you know, you can intervene in the context with, that is your own much more than in a foreign context. I mean, now I live for 10 years already in Berlin, and it's becoming more and more my context. So, yeah, I hope I will get even more politically engaged here.
Right. And that's interesting because in the film, the term political film is used. Like, but I wanted to ask you, aside from this being a biographical documentary about Sonja, would you also call Landscapes of Resistance a political film? And what is a political film to you? How would you define that?
First, I would not say that it's a biographical documentary about Sonja. I think it's also a kind of experimental documentary with a contemporary leftist and queer perspective. So the film, for me, it's also more about what Sonja's story means to me, Anna, and, I mean, people who made the film. So this is maybe something important to say. For me, political film is actually the film that tries to intervene into dominant ideology that is present today. So to kind of make a rupture or to propose something different than what is a dominant ideology, which is for us today, neoliberal capitalism in Berlin, in Belgrade, in Serbia, and in many other countries. And somehow I think remembering Sonja's story, telling her story from a contemporary perspective, showing why this is important for us, is also, basically intervening into contemporary moment in a way.
Yeah, and I definitely want to get into a conversation about that, about the style of the film, which is very interesting, and there's lots to talk about there. But before we do, I sort of wanted to go back to the film itself, the making of the film itself, and just simply ask you, how did you meet Sonja? Because from the film, I understand that it was a good few years ago.
Yes, I met Sonja actually in 2007 because she's a grand aunt. She was a grand aunt of my partner, Anna Vujanović, who is also a co-writer of the film. And I met her and I started listening to her stories because also back then Anna and I were very much involved at the independent cultural artistic scene as an activist, like leftist scene in Belgrade. And I knew about Sonja's life story and her stories. What I didn't know was how amazing storyteller she is. And when I met her and when I heard some first things, I actually just wanted to come back next time with a camera. I didn't want her to continue talking to me at that time. I wanted to record it right away so our dialogue becomes, it stays fresh also in front of the camera.
So when you first met her, were you already making films?
I was actually a junior student of the National Film Academy in Belgrade. I was quite young, and maybe that's why it took me so long to actually decide to finish this film, because I also felt back then that I'm not good enough filmmaker for the such a strong and powerful story, which should also be cinematically proposed in a powerful way. So yeah, then back in 2016-17, I realized actually that her story becomes more and more relevant for a contemporary moment where we have a right-wing rise in Europe very much, but also in the United States, in also in some other contexts. So I thought, okay, maybe now is the time to really finish this film and propose another kind of world through going back to these stories that already existed and happened.
And just because we're in the topic, why do you feel there is a rise of right-wing politics?
Why?
Yeah.
Oh, it's quite a big question, I must say. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, I think it's, I think the tension between, let's simplify it and say right and left is becoming more and more prominent. And I don't know exactly why. Maybe it's how history works. But in my work, I mean, as a filmmaker, as a visual artist, I'm very much interested in this tension between memory and history. And when I deal with this history or specifically in this film with Sonia's memories, it's not that I want to come back to them as they were, you know, as something, as a fact, as something which is in a way dead history. This is the history or memory that I want to invest in our future. That's why I come back to it. And this is quite a Benjaminian, I would say, way of thinking about memory and history. But it's something very crucial and important for my work as a filmmaker, also with the previous film.
Right. So, I mean, in other words, when it comes to Sonia's story, it's an important story to tell and to record, but you're also concerned as a filmmaker with preserving stories like Sonia and maybe others like her.
Yeah, preserving is definitely one of the aspects of it, but I would also say maybe more activating them, because I think her story is very inspiring for me as a leftist activist, I guess for many other people, because what this story brings to me is that resistance is always possible. This is the feeling that I want to evoke in my audience, that resistance is always possible. And somehow I think it's very relevant these days to think about it, that, yeah, there is always possibility to resist. Because Sonia ended up in Auschwitz as a political prisoner, and you know, like, we always think about Auschwitz as something very totalitarian, where nothing was possible. It was possible only to die. And of course, it was, I mean, different prisoners were treated in different ways. Some of them didn't have a chance to resist. But in Sonia's case, she was a political prisoner. She knew why she was there, and she joined the resistance and became one of the leaders of its combat unit. So I think it's quite inspiring to think that if resistance was possible in Auschwitz, it's certainly possible today for all of us.
I was thinking as well about how, despite its nature, this documentary lacks archival footage and instead opts, for example, for images of places where the events that Sonia talks about may or may not have occurred. Can you tell me more about this choice and whether it had something to do with liberating the concept of resistance from being restricted to a specific historical moment and instead represent it as something that is constant and timeless?
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, it's an interesting perspective. Thank you, Matt. Definitely. I mean, I knew from the beginning that I don't want to use the archive because it's As I said, for me, it's not a historical documentary. It's very personal and, in a way, let's say artistic. There is a specific, artistic approach and perspective to her stories. What I was interested in, formally, is when I discovered that Sonia actually is such an amazing storyteller, and that she, when she speaks, I see images, and it's like reading a film script in a way. So, I decided, with Anna, who was also a dramaturg on the film, that we, basically, divide the story into scenes, into film scenes, and then confront these scenes from her, Sonia's stories, with the landscapes where they have happened, or they might have happened, because in the most of the places we really managed to find these spots from Sonia's stories, and then we went back to these places more than once, like over like 2-3 years. I wanted to visit these places on different occasions and maybe also in different seasons, not drastically different, because this would be maybe too much aesthetically, but to show the passage of time. And also I was also interested, maybe, I don't know if you notice it in the film, to this idea of a body as a landscape. I mean, we have landscapes which bear witness to Sonia's stories, but we also have Sonia's body, which contains the stories, which experience these stories. And I wanted really to approach it very, to get close to her, you know, and, because also I would say that she belongs to the generation which is disappearing, and their bodies and their stories are disappearing, and it's important to, as you say, preserve a memory of this different world.
And this is something, a question that just occurred to me there. Would you say that Serbia is a country that's good at preserving its memories and stories?
Good question. Actually, no. I mean, I think Sonia was one of the first female partisans actually in Yugoslavia. And nowadays in Serbia, she's completely forgotten as a figure. She's not, also what is important for the film, that she's not a big hero. She's one of the small heroes which made the revolution possible. Maybe it's also important to say that Yugoslavia had its own authentic socialist revolution. It was not part of the Eastern Bloc. I think Yugoslav Socialist Project is very much inspiring for me in my work. But Serbia definitely, it's not good in remembering its own and preserving its own history. I would say there is a really strong wave of revisionism that we have today in Serbia, like literally erasing these stories and forgetting this world that was quite different than the one we live today, So, so for me, making a film is this artistic gesture of remembering. And I think with films and with art, we can maybe not directly intervene into public sphere, which we can do with activism or politics. But what we can do is produce or propose other possible worlds. And this is what I'm trying to do this with my films.
Mm, that's interesting. So in the film, there is a reference to your own, for want of a better term, and you might have another way of sort of describing it, but sort of sense of guilt at having moved to Berlin. How do you feel about it now, having made that decision to move?
Yes, I mean, it's really interesting that you noticed this. Yes, I had this guilt. I think it was also because I worked at the independent scene for quite some time, maybe around 10 years. I really tried to change the context and invest in my own context. And then maybe I got a bit tired of it. And also I wanted to dedicate more of my energy to research and to filmmaking. And then I moved to Berlin to start the experimental film, which was not possible back in Belgrade. And yes, I felt a guilt for leaving the context where I can intervene. But now I think also through the process of making this film, I'm even more connected to the context, and I'm becoming again, more activated and more activistic about it, let's say.
Mm. Was that an intention of yours to activate the viewer?
Yes, definitely. To let the viewer think about, what he or she or they hears, and take time to also get into the rhythm of Sonia, because she was quite old and slow, but her stories are not slow. But I somehow thought that it's good to really take time to ingest this and think about it in from a perspective of our own lives today.
Final question, because I did want to ask you something else about Sonia. While you were filming, did Sonia embrace the filming process? And, this may sound like a silly question, but did she think that her stories were important? Because as you said, there is a tendency to sort of neglect these stories, whether it's from the country's authorities or just people in general. What was the case with Sonia, with the relationship with her own memories and telling those memories to the world?
Yeah, Sonia is a very politically educated person, as many of her, Marxist activists from her period. So she understands also the contemporary context very precisely. So I think, she was very much involved in our process, because she thought this is very important, especially at the end of her life. Maybe when I started filming her, when I was still a junior student, maybe she wanted to control the situation more, like on her side. And then later, when I came back after some time, we already knew each other for many years. We were in contact. And I think this trust that was built between us help her surrender to the filmmaking process. I think for her, at the end of her life, it was very important that we are making this film. I felt this exchange also on the bodily aspect, in a way, because I remember her hand in my hand when we finished filming, because I also wanted her at the end to repeat the whole story also when she was 97, just before she actually left us. So in a way, I think this process was very important for both of us, and I think Sonia, understanding historical processes as somebody who is a Marxist, thought this is very important to make a film from her stories. I mean, also want to add something, and this is that even Sonia's stories were important to her. She always mentioned her comrades. You know, she didn't see herself as a hero. She thought the experience and her stories are important, but as a collective thing. Not like singling out herself as a one and only true hero in the stories, but always mentioning who was around her and always remembering all these details from the partisan struggle and resistance in Auschwitz.
Thanks a lot, Marta.
Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.